You have your word cards today? Do you have your word cards? Can I tell you those word cards? You know, we have a little tradition here that the kids get word cards to follow along with, hear certain words. What are the three words? I think I have them up here on the board. Screen. What's the first one starting from the bottom? From the bottom. First word. What words do you have on your card? Talent. That's not the bottom one? Oh, I even got them mixed up. That's right brain thinking. But the three words are there. Box, talent, and treasure. So when I say these words, I want you to mark how many times I say it. We do have a few little gifts for you when you leave the sanctuary today, little wristbands and stickers and pencils. But, you know, thinking outside the box is not always easy. Is it? What do I mean by thinking out of the box? Well, what I don't mean by thinking out of the box is straying away from scriptural truth with new ideas just because I think of them. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has a wonderful message and a mission. Amen? That will never change. The mission doesn't change. The message doesn't change. But the methods might change a little bit. Am I right? Because we live in a different world than years ago. So our methods of packaging the mission and the message changes. But the mission and the message never changed. So the ideas around that I'm talking about do not include changing the message. God forbid. Amen? If I wanted to change the message, I should go to a different church and be their pastor. Am I right? Absolutely. And the mission will never change. The mission is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We need to catch and renew our mission. A vision for our mission. Now today I'm going to challenge you and me. I'm going to challenge you about your stewardship of your time, talent, and your treasure. And about mine. And I'd like to start with challenging you by thinking outside the box in a way of a new idea of how the cross impacts us. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Everything we do needs to springboard as a response to the cross, as a response to grace, not in order to receive the grace. Amen? Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, on Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, what's he talking about? What's the holiest? The holiest place, the holy place in the sanctuary above, right? Isn't that where Jesus is? Right? Now, what's boldness? Confidence. Because of you? It's because of the blood. It's because of Jesus. That's the confidence. By a new and living way, verse 20. A new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, that's like cleansed from it, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. Now I want to draw your attention to the last two verses. I've got them up here on the screen. Check this out. Talk about a new idea. Talk about how open are you to a new idea found in Scripture? How open are you? If you're not open, then the seed, when it comes to your heart, it's not going to find fruit. It's not going to have the right soil, can't produce the change in our lives. Are you open? Kelly says she's open. Are you open? Let the Spirit of God just drive this into you. And let us consider one another in order to stir up what? Love and good works. You know, that's what we're here for. That's what I'm trying to do today, is to stir us up in love and good works so that you'll be saved. Huh? Uh-uh. Because you are saved. Amen? That's a big difference. We're not doing it to be saved. We're doing it because we are saved. Good works is a natural consequence when Jesus has your heart. See, some of us got this wrong idea about faith. You know, faith is some nebulous thing I just believe in that I'm cool with God. Faith works into your life. The Bible says faith without works is but not to earn your salvation. Amen? Jesus does it by His blood on the cross. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What are you talking about? The second coming of Jesus. Are we not living in the last times? You know, time keeps going on, doesn't it? And we kind of get the idea that this is going to keep going. I thought Jesus was going to come by now. Anybody here? Yeah, but He hasn't. And I wonder why. It's got to be because of mercy. It's got to be because of being ready for Him to come. Amen? It's got to be. It's got to be so heaven will be populated with you and me and all those around us. Don't you think? Yeah, probably. Stirring us up, encouraging us. I like that word. Exhortation. Exhorting. That's kind of like a cheerleader on a football team. You know, the cheerleaders exhort. They cheer them on. You can do it. If you can't do it, nobody can. You ever hear them say that? Yeah. You can do it. So today is all really about just exhorting us on, cheering us on, stirring up our love for each other and for God, and unto good works for Him. And you know, there's ways of measuring our spirituality. There's measures of weighing how open we are to God's leading and guidance, how open we are to maybe seeing things in a little bit different way. Not entirely different way, just a little differently. If as your pastor, if I didn't bring anything a little bit new, a little bit, you know, different, if I'm just repeating the same old, what am I adding to you? What am I bringing to the table? So I've got to bring the same, but I've got to bring also some new. Don't I? Well, it's not really new. It's not new from you. Amen? It's just a little bit differently. It's kind of like the same thing, but seeing it differently. Never saw it that way before, but the same thing. Really? Anything, like I said, by new, I don't mean against the mission or the message of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. God forbid. Test it. Amen? But how open are you to new ideas of methods? You know? See, I'm open. How can we do church better? How can we please God more? How can we prepare better? How can we reach people better? How can we be more effective stewards of our time, talent, and treasure for the kingdom of God? You know, how can we do that? You know, we all want to please God, do we not? Absolutely. So I'm here today. I hope we'll exhort you. Amen? We'll exhort you. We'll exhort you on. to pretty big things. Actually, bigger than you and me. Bigger than all of us put together. People inside this box, you know, they're trying to think, they can't think outside the box for whatever reason, it's sealed. Are you a outside-of-the-box thinker? What I mean by, yeah, Shirley kind of is. I can tell that right away. She's very creative. Let me share with you an example. Here, you notice this little, can you see that okay? I couldn't really blow it up too much because it got all distorted, because it wasn't a very large file picture. But you notice the left side of our brain thinks in numbers and analyzes things. It's logical, right? It works from list and sequence. How many of you, here's a good test. How many of you, when you get a new book, you start at the beginning or the beginning of the book? Always. Anybody start in the middle of a book? Some of the hands that went right back down. I do, but is that okay? Anybody start at the end of the book? Jesus! Okay, that's the new revelation. Because, see, you are a left-brain person. You are pretty much logical, in-the-box thinker. If you just, when you get a book, you start right from the beginning. See, only a creative, right-brain person would start somewhere else and be able to go back and forth. Now, that doesn't mean you may not be a right-brain person in other areas of your life. But the right-brain areas, look what it does. Imagination. You daydream in color. Hello. You with me? Thank you. I feel much better now. Rhythm. Music. Huh? Kind of a right brain activity. Now, I don't know how accurate scientists are about right brain, left brain stuff. I know how accurate educators are. But there's probably something to this. So today, you know, I don't know how much of the right brain I'm going to activate. But you know what? I can't activate anything in your brain. You know? It's got to be the Spirit of God. We are so dependent upon the Spirit of God in our lives. So dependent. And sometimes we don't realize it. We try to do it ourselves. You know? Here's a new way of looking at church. Just as an idea, I'm going to throw this out real quickly. Christian Schwartz is a Christian mathematician, statistician. He's kind of like the George Gallup of the Gallup polls. What he did was he went around the world and he took a survey of hundreds of churches, Christian churches, off denomination. And he came up with 8 activities, 8 conditions that churches had that when they had these conditions, they were healthy, vibrant, growing, dynamic churches. And the more that they had these activities, these characteristics in their church, they made them healthier. And the characteristics are these. There's 8 of them. You ready? What's that one? Read that for me, okay? Empowering leadership. So the leaders in these churches were empowered. They could make certain decisions. They didn't have to rely upon the pastor telling them what to do and how to do it. They were empowered. I trust your decision-making ability. I trust you. A lot of trust and empowerment was happening. What's the second one? What is it? Gift-oriented ministry. In other words, these churches had people who were ministering and serving in ways that complemented their giftedness, how God wired them and shaped them. Okay? That's passionate about the spirituality. What does that mean? That's the heart for Jesus. You know, real heart for God. Real passionate about God. Next one. The structure. In other words, the structure of the church was very functional. It worked well. Next one. Inspiring worship. Had to have inspiring worship. holistic small groups. Small groups, not just the study of theology all by itself, but how does theology, how does it apply to our lives? Another. Okay? Another one. Need for evangelism for people. Like friendship evangelism. Okay? And the last one? Loving relationships. Everything has to be couched in loving relationships. So Christians who are, these churches, they found that if they had these characteristics, the more of the characteristics, the healthier they were, the more vibrant they were, the more growing they were, and they were reaching the community for God. They were being kingdom growers for God. Is this a new idea for you? Any of this new to you? You've heard all this before? Okay, so probably not all that new, is it? No. It's just said a little bit differently. How open are you to new ideas? Open. The older you get, the harder it is to change, huh? And you know what? Next week we're having a quartet to have the worship service, the musical worship service here next week. And that's going to be kind of neat. Kind of traditional quartet Adventist music. Amen? Christian Adventist music. And anybody, probably some of you really would like that. I hope you will. And the following week, I thought, you know what I would do for my sermon? Who moved my cheese? All about change. And how we either resist change or welcome change. I think I'll preach that sermon. Amen? Would you like me to? Alright. So the following week, be Who Moved My Sheep? You'll see this title on the board. Who Moved My Sheep? What's the title of my sermon going to be? Who Moved My Sheep? It'll be fun. We'll have a great time. God will smile at us. For sure. But today, you know, really what I'm talking about for us in the dynamic and the context of stewardship is passionate spirituality. You see, passionate spirituality is the engine to a car. You know, it's what powers it. Passionate spirituality has everything to do with your heart and my heart. How passionate are we about God? And how you measure that? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about it. I think one of the key areas of our lives, how we measure passionate spirituality is, guess what? Yep. See, I right, left fingers, you know, and I got a time. You know, Seventh-day Adventists feel that the Seventh-day Sabbath is God's time with me. Your time with God. A whole 24-hour period. Is God in the other days as well? So why is the seventh day Sabbath blessed over the other days? Are the other days blessed? Well, they are in a sense, but they're not specially blessed because God specially blessed the Sabbath day. That's what the Bible says, brothers and sisters. God blessed the Sabbath day, not Sunday, not Monday, not Tuesday. Is there a blessing in Monday, Sunday, and Tuesday? Absolutely, of course there is. But there's a special blessing in the Sabbath day because God placed it there. And another thing that happens is when you cooperate with that God's blessing placed there, you receive that more fully. Why? Because you stop your time. You stop this other stuff and you focus. You get recentered with your relationship with Christ. That's important stuff. While that is real important about time, I'm talking about it a little bit differently. How many of you would like to have 30 hours in a day? Sometimes, wouldn't you? Because you'd get more done, right? Okay, hard time getting through 24. Yes. You'd like to have more time? Yeah. A lot of students would like to have more time because they'd be able to study for their test, get ready for school, things like that. Oh, actually have more time for play. Right? How do you use your time? Where is Jesus in your... When you're outside the Sabbath, outside of worship, how does Jesus focus into that? Are we truly just a Seventh-day Adventist?
or are we Seventh-day Adventists?
You know, you've heard that before, right?
You know, how much time do we allow God in our lives during the regular time?
That is an interesting measurement for your passion and spirituality. And, of course, of your stewardship of time. You know what they say? They say you really don't manage time. We don't really manage time. We manage ourselves with the time. And really, it's about priorities and values is what you manage. What you really want to do, that's what you're going to do with your time. Am I right? So, is what you really want to do part of what God, make sure what God wants you to do? Uh-oh. You got to think about that, don't you? Yeah. Kind of assess that. But, you know, God does expect us to use our time wisely. Part of stewardship is using your time and managing yourself with your time. That's an important thing. And I'm done with time. That's all I'm going to say about it. What's the second part of stewardship? Talent. Hidden talent. And I've got talent up here a few times. Talent. I try to be right-brain thinking. If I get stuck in the left-brain stuff, everything's lined up, left to right, standard, top to bottom. You know? So I try to turn things upside down and backwards a little bit. So talent. What do I mean by talent? Please open your Bible to Matthew 25. We read up to verse 18, didn't we? Now you remember the talents given, right? The talents were actually specifically money, right? Given. But these talents don't just represent money. Actually, they represent more about your giftedness and your talents, your abilities, God-given or natural. It doesn't matter. What is the setting of this parable of the talents? I know I'm trying to wake you up here, but you know you're doing good. You're doing good. What's the parable for? What's the purpose of the parable? That's correct. Absolutely. You just said, why though? Surely. Amen. Absolutely. That's true. This is in the context of being ready for when Jesus comes. This is a last day parable, what the church needs to be about to prepare for when Jesus comes. Yes. Yes, if you don't use it, you can lose it. We don't like that. But the Spirit of God gives the talents, right? A spiritual gift is spiritually given by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. And the Spirit gives you the gift. You don't choose the gift. The Spirit gives you the gift because He knows you better than you know yourself. Right? But God can also take a gift away. Ooh. Right? Let's go on and read the rest of the parable together, starting at verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. In other words, this guy, Jesus is going to come again. He's going to settle accounts. Right? So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. How many want to hear that from Jesus? Enter the joy of the Lord. Amen. Verse 22, He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed, and I was afraid. and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Seems kind of even, Stephen, doesn't it? What's the scripture say? Is it even, Stephen? How do you know? The Bible says, no, it's not even, Stephen. It's not okay to give back just what. And he didn't even try to develop it. He didn't try to even use it. Look what he says. But the Lord answered, verse 26, and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, at least the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents. Oh, boy. For to everyone who has more, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Pretty strong language. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, this is a pretty serious dynamic. Jesus is going to come again, and when he comes again, he expects his church to be about the business that God intends it to be about. And each one of you has received at least one spiritual gift. And you probably have 10 or 20 or 50 natural talents that go undeveloped in your life, that you're not even aware of that you have ability for. The largest reason, the biggest reason why people don't get involved in serving, they say, "I don't really have any talents or abilities." The Bible says you do. The Bible says, for at least to each born again, each Christian receives at least one spiritual gift, not including the natural abilities you were born with. And it is your responsibility to discover what that gift, that talent is, and to develop it. It is the church's responsibility. Here's a new idea. It is the church's responsibility to help you, to equip you, to train you. That's the church's responsibility. That's a leadership responsibility, that we help each member become fully equipped in good works. Yeah, training each other, equipping one another. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. A quiet congregation today. You're listening. Go to verse 11. And he himself gave, Ephesians 4:11, and he himself gave some to be, these are spiritual gifts given by the Spirit of God, okay? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints. For the work of ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Folks, you have some giftedness. And if the Spirit gave you this gift, it is your responsibility to discover it and develop it. You need to return it back to God, hopefully, twofold. Threefold. Fivefold. Tenfold. Amen? I want to hear God say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, I've entrusted you with a few things. I'll let you have a lot of responsibility, and you're going to like it." See, because if he can't trust us with a few things, how can he trust us with much? So the church has a great and awesome responsibility. Remember that functional structure? Those healthy churches? Who are growing and vibrant, that healthy, that functional structure. Part of that functional structure is to facilitate training and equipping saints for ministry. Does anybody get a little nervous about that?
Oh, by the way,
it's a total volunteer army. You don't have to sign up if you don't want to.
But you could bury it. You got to be careful. If you don't sign up, you might bury your talent. Amen?
So, but it is volunteer. It is voluntary. You do have a choice.
There's consequences to both choices, right?
Am I right?
According to the parable, there are consequences.
You know, but all of God's biddings are enablers. You know, if God enables you with 3 talents or 5 talents, most of us have quite a lot of talents we're not even aware of, as I said earlier. And wow, that means He believes in your ability to not only use them, but to develop them and prosper the church with them.
Do you know how prosperous this church would be? And I don't mean in money terms. Well, I'm going to get into the money stuff a little bit in just a couple of minutes. I'm going to end with that. But do you know how prosperous the church would be in its human resources if we are truly being led by the Spirit, being equipped for ministry because the Spirit gave us gifts and we're discovering them, developing them, using them? Do you know how healthy a church is that has people shining for God's glory, using the giftedness that God has given them? Teachers, good teachers teaching. And I've seen some good, Lester did a great job in Bible school today. But he preached some hard stuff, but he preached the truth. Absolute truth. We are not capable of even seeing our sin without the Spirit revealing it to us. You're not capable of it because you and I are deprived. We are depraved. We're carnal, sold under sin. We need the Spirit of God to regenerate us. If you do something good, don't pat yourself on the back. Say, praise Jesus. Amen? I'm preaching, right? Verse 16, I love this. I'm going to end with the talent with this verse. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together, what's the body? He's using the human body as a metaphor for the church, right? So we have the whole body joined and knit together. That is my elbows connected to my top of my arm, femur, all that kind of stuff. The femur in your leg? Yeah, sorry. What's that bone called then? What is it?
Humerus.
Thank you. At least I knew I didn't have it right. I didn't know what it was, but I knew I was wrong. Okay. In other words, they're connected, they're joined, they're knit together by every joint supply. You know, you have joints and ligaments in your body. According to effective working by which every part does its share. What's it do? It causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You know, the church suffers when people don't get involved in developing their giftedness. The church suffers. It suffers. Did I say it suffers? And a lot of people don't recognize that. You know, you think that you can't make much of a difference. Hogwash. That's a lie. Wait a second. The Bible says God gave you a spiritual gift. Right? What for? Edifying of the body. To build up the body. That means you make a difference. Hey, is my big toe important? It's a little part of my body though, isn't it? You don't even see it. It's in my shoe. My lovely wife laughed at that one. I can make her laugh at a drop of a dime. But I would be limping out of here if I didn't have my big toe. I would have a hard time running without a big toe. See, my big toe can't say, that my body doesn't need it. Paul says, every part of our body plays this important role, how big or how small. Lungs can't say, hey, I'm taking a break. I'm not going to work today. I'm on strike. It can't say that. And if my finger gets separated from my hand, it dies. See, spiritually, folks, spiritually, the reality, what God has designed, He designed the church
to be connected to Christ. And the body is the body in the body of Christ in a sense. See? In a sense. I mean, Jesus is Jesus. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say something stupid here. But the body of Christ is the physical, is the connecting link with each other to Christ. In a very real way. Could you be saved without the church? Yes, you can. Without gracing the doors of any church, it's possible for you to be saved. Amen? Absolutely. But God has ordained the church to build you up, to train you, to develop you. Part of the purpose of the church is to develop who God has made you to be in Christ Jesus. So if you're interested in just saying, okay, I'm saved, I can live my life the way I want to, I don't need Jesus, I think you're going to have a problem according to this parable. I'm going to have a problem. It doesn't work that way. Is that a new idea for anybody? It's very popular thinking that the church, it's just an organization, it's just man-made institution. No, it isn't. Is it made with men infallible sinners? Yeah. Does God still work despite of that? Absolutely. We would be in bad shape if He didn't. God's patient with us. Amen? You will often fall. You and I will often fall. But we can, don't use that as an excuse to fall, but you and I will often fall when we can find a source of tranquility and grace and peace at the foot of the cross. We can find renewing, second chances at the cross. Yeah. Am I exhorting you? Amen. That's what I'm talking all about, increasing our passionate spirituality for God. That's what I'm hoping to accomplish. And I don't think it's going to be accomplished all by one sermon. What am I going to do? I like what the bulletin said. Did you see in the bulletin? I know, I'm getting off a little bit. I'm sorry. Spot, the back of your bulletin. You don't have to turn to it. Just listen to me. It's not by might nor by PowerPoint, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen? Why do I have PowerPoint then? Well, it's educational, illustrative, right? Helps keep you along with me. Okay, I'm gonna finish with the talent thing here. Read this with me. The talents, however few, are to be put to use. Ellen White says this in Christ's Object Lessons. Yeah, Ellen White said this. How about that? You should read some of her stuff. The question that most concerns us is not how much I have received. But what am I doing with that which I have? She continues, the development of all our powers is the first duty we owe to God. You don't like that word duty, do you? I don't like the word duty. She said duty. Hello. Hi. I know you're thinking, you're reading. Powers is our first duty we owe to God and to our fellow men. No one who is not growing daily in capability and usefulness is fulfilling the purpose of life. Man, if you don't fulfill your purpose, you're missing it. You may be trying to live the good life, but God wants you to live the better life. How open are you to new ideas? Hey, I hear some more opens. I like that. I don't know what my next slide is, so I have to look at my paper here. Sorry. I was telling you earlier that the church is responsible for training. And one thing I'm going to be doing in the future, which I think the leadership will want me to do hands down, is do some training in spiritual gifts. But I want you to notice something. What does that say up there? Implementing spiritual gifts in the church. So it's not just a seminar where you discover But it's a process and a structure we have to put in place so that we have spiritual gifts implemented in how we do church. It's God's given way, folks. It's right there in the Bible. Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12. The three main places of spiritual gifts in New Testament, right there. There's a lot of stuff in the Old Testament about spiritual gifts as well. Absolutely. So when you see this, it's called connections. The right place for the right reasons. Powerful, powerful educational tool for you and for me. Amen? So I don't want to just tell you this, that we ought to be doing this. It's something that I have plans that we're actually going to implement. Amen? Yeah. Because we need to be an equipping place. Now, if you want to be equipped, if you want to be trained, you want to learn, we've got to help provide that opportunity for you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. When are you going to finish, Pastor? Okay, I'll finish it. I know I've been talking for about 35 minutes, at least, right? It's not a problem. Thank you. Treasure. Uh-oh. Here's another little bit of barometer to our passionate spirituality, to our stewardship, is treasure. The three P's of the treasure. Three P's of treasure management. What's the first one? How much? What's the second one? Where does it go? Third one? So, treasure. Does God need your money? How do you know that? He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need my money. He doesn't need your money. But why? Why does God call us? In Malachi chapter 3. You got your Bible? Let's turn to that. The last book in the Old Testament, Malachi. Pastor, you said you were going to finish. Yep, I'm finishing. Verse 8. Check this out. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Oh, by the way, I've noticed in our bulletin that we've been pretty much meeting our financial needs. Last week, we were way down. This week, we're pretty much breaking even where the needs are. But you know what? The conference report says that the Merrimack Valley Seventh-day Adventist Church is about $11,000 behind last year's giving. I said, woo! But you know what? There's still a lot of this year left. Amen? How are we managing our treasure? You know what? I want to say thank you for every boy and girl, every man and woman who gives a nickel, a dime, a penny to this church, to the cause of God. And you know, my salary, I don't get directly paid from your money you give to the congregation. You know that, right? It goes to the conference. That's the place. What's the portion? 10%. Why? Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. See, God can't bless that. It's impossible for God to bless that. It's just not in Him to bless that. He can't bless that. That's disobedience. God cannot bless disobedience. Because you and I don't suffer the consequences of disobedience right away doesn't mean that we're being blessed. That's what I call Samson syndrome. You know what happened to Samson. Samson, right? Okay, that's another story. All right. Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. So the portion and the place is acknowledged here, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. That's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. So, folks, how faithful are you being? How faithful am I being? You know what? No one's pointing the finger at something. You have to just determine it's between you and God. I have never really talked about money up front here once, pretty much. Have I? I don't like to talk about money. I don't like it. Do I like money? Sure, I like money. You got an extra $100 bills? I'll take them. Just kidding. I have plenty of money in a lot of ways. I don't ever want to complain about my salary. I thank God for what I get. I am so blessed that you can get what I get. Believe me, I don't make a lot of money. For a master's degree? Do you know how much money I make? I'm not going to tell you. All right. Let's not go there. It's not a lot. But I have enough. Praise God. Absolutely. I'm not going to complain about that. I've never written a conference president saying I need more money. Never will do that by God's grace. But listen, folks. God does expect us, not because he needs it, but this is God's treasure management plan for you. Because, as you see, we're in the process. Our culture always says, get. God says, I want you to give some of what you get so that you can get more, so that you can give more, so that people will be blessed by it. The portion is because of your increase, offering, place the storehouse. What's the storehouse? And people, they'll disagree. They'll say, I'll send my 10% to 3ABN, or I'll send my tithe to whatever ministry out here. Okay? Now, I'm not going to tell you what to do with that. That's between you and God. You hear me? But the storehouse, biblically, for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, is the organizational structure. And you might say, well, you know what? They've embezzled it. They used it wrongly, so I'm not going to send it there anymore. That's not it. They're accountable. That doesn't give you and me excuse not to send it there. They're going to be accountable. Amen? But we still need to be faithful. Because the church must go forward. The church has got to go forward. The church will go forward. Amen? It will. So think about that. Think about that. How are you doing with your time? How are you doing with your talent? How are you doing with your treasure? It's really all God given to you. How well are you managing it? That's where you become a steward. Amen? That's where you become a steward. Jesus says, brothers and sisters, I want to enter into a relationship with you that water will be like water flowing up, spring of water flowing up out of you. Just this abundant life that he wants to give you. Abundant life. God has for you bigger and better things than you can even imagine. Now, you can't even imagine it. My thoughts are not your thoughts, the Bible says. My ways are not your ways. But God says, try me in this. Try me in this. See if I won't really bless you. You know, and I think God wants to bless us with our time, our talent, our treasure. He is like a heavenly father. He is like a daddy who wants to give presents to his children. And I know I love to give gifts to my kids. God loves to give gifts to you. But there are some times I can't give gifts, certain gifts to my kids because it wouldn't help them. Am I right? Yeah. It wouldn't be right. We started off a new way. The Holy of Holies, by the blood of the Lamb. That's the cross. And folks, if we are ever really going to be empowered, it's got to be empowerment from the cross. That's the power of salvation for each one of us. And I implore you, I challenge you, if you want to improve your stewardship, begin with the life of Christ, and specifically the cross. You want to increase your passionate spirituality? Begin there, at the cross. Fill your mind with the cross. Fill your mind with the life of Christ. Every day, something. Every day. Did I say every day? Every day. Something. Some tidbit. Something small. At least something. Amen? Because the cross has power to change you and me. If we don't resist, we will be drawn naturally to Jesus if we don't resist. Amen. How many of you think that I can cut a hole in a piece of paper large enough that I can walk through it? You seen that? You think I can do it? So if I cut a hole in this paper, can I walk through it? But if I fold the paper, yeah, you have to be careful how you fold it. You have to do this right, it won't work. Huh? Take the paper, and you cut it there. You take the paper, and you cut it there. And then you continue to make. And you continue to make cuts. Just carefully cut it. Back and forth. Without cutting all the way through. If this doesn't work, I'm going to cry. You want to see me try? Oh, you don't want to see that. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, brother. I'm glad you don't want to see your pastor cry. That's good. And so you just continue to cut. Yeah, I know it. If you cried, I would cry with you as well. Amen? But now, look at it. You can put it right through. Amen? Friends, we have a lot to learn from the Spirit of God. And you can look at a piece of paper and say, there's no way. But you know what? There is a way with God's help. This is just a human little thing that I learned. How much greater is God with what we can learn from Him? The Spirit is powerful. The Spirit is God. Give your life to Christ. Give yourself over. Your time, your talent, your treasure. Give it to Him. He can help you manage it well. Amen? Father in heaven, thank you so very much for this wonderful reminder that you have gifted us. You have blessed us with so many blessings, gifts and abilities and talents. Oh God, we praise your holy name. You give us power to gain wealth. We praise your holy name for it. You give us time to use and enjoy, to be with our friends and family, to read scripture and come into your presence. Oh God, thank you for this time. Thank you for the talents. Thank you for the treasures you've given us. But help us not to hoard them, oh God. Help us not to just be a taking people, but a giving people. Giving of ourselves up to you, as this song states. So I praise you and I thank you, and I know that you want to continue to bless this church as you have blessed it so abundantly in the past. So please, Lord, raise us up. Help us to see your vision of what you can do through us by the power of your Spirit for your name's honor and glory. And then we will see Jesus come. Wow, we want to see Jesus come. Thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer. In Jesus' holy and powerful name, amen.